My dad passed away pretty much right before the actual Olympics in Tokyo, and was one of the most stressful and hard situations I've had as an athlete. And time was ticking to get back, but I was like, I don't even know if I care anymore. And I just wanted to freeze and do nothing. It felt like there was a lot that needed to be done and I just couldn't do it. And I don't need to replicate the past. I just need to be confident in what I'm doing right now. And then it'll be time to do something different. And I honestly have zero clue what that will be.
Katie, thank you very much for taking the time to join us for this face-to-face podcast. It's great to have you here. I guess, like, I've known you for a while through Super League and known your story as well. And I think one of the things that's interesting when you look at the level of success that you've had as an athlete is that, unlike a lot of athletes coming through a system now, this started with you as just a complete hobby, right? It's amazing to think where you've got to from where you've been. Is that something you ever think about yourself?
I think about it. I feel like how I got into triathlon wasn't necessarily as a hobby. I was recruited to do triathlon originally right after I finished, well, at the end of my time at university. And what boggles my mind, I suppose, is I never thought I was capable of being a professional triathlete or athlete in general. I never thought I was capable of being Olympian. I never would have dreamed it in my future to have 2 medals at the Olympics or be Super League champion multiple times. I mean, I think I've always just, and it wasn't because those weren't goals of mine. It was just at the time I would think, well, do you know how many people are professional athletes? Do you know how many people are Olympians, you know, like you're champions of sport? And so yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing to look back and think, wow, I guess now I've been doing triathlon for about 10 years, 11 years-ish, I guess I would have started. And before that, I never would have dreamed that this could possibly be my life. It's better than my dreams. Like it's been really incredible.
When you were growing up, I know you were very sporty. You did lots of different sports. Did you always have an ambition to find something that you could be a professional at, or were you only ever just interested in having fun and this kind of just happened?
Yeah, I was only interested in having fun. I wanted to see how I could get the most out of myself. I just didn't know what the most out of myself was really capable of. And I think in my head at the time, it wasn't realistic to think, well, I was going to be a professional athlete or an Olympian. And I guess I'm happy with that because I took it step by step. I never got too overwhelmed. It was always just trying to be the best version of myself as an athlete and do the best I could. And my parents just wanted me to be involved in sport, be healthy, be active. And I mean, sport really teaches you a lot as a, I would say as a young kid, but it's still teaching me a lot as an adult. So it really is teaches a lot of life lessons. And even with the community aspect of things, I mean, when I was younger, I was mostly involved in a lot of team sports. So soccer, lacrosse, and then, I mean, swimming's individual, but also team, as I guess most sports are. And so I feel like I never thought I was going to be a professional just because I kind of thought, well, that's pretty out of my league. And I just assumed, especially even as I was finishing university, I always just assumed, oh, I had ambitions to be a teacher. I had ambitions to maybe go back to school. They were just different.
Yeah. And
so then when triathlon came apart, it was a bit out of what I would have considered like the normal trajectory of my life to say, oh yeah, I'll go for doing triathlon professionally, especially because at the time I didn't actually know what triathlon really was. So
how strange was that transition then, because from playing team sports to doing something that's so individual? Because I think when you speak to a lot of the elite triathletes, they come very much from a background in one of the disciplines, normally swimming or running, and then they kind of find themselves falling into triathlon, but they kind of are used to what is a much more individual way of life than when you're in a team and you have a completely different environment, a completely different role in which you see yourself in sport in general?
It's a good question. I think because of how I came into more individual sport, I was still in high school when I started running, and then even with swimming, I guess I did for quite a large part of my youth, but when I was younger, it always felt like a team sport anyways. So even going into university, when you're going into university to run in the US, you're really a part of a team. You're a part of the cross country team. And then you go to track. And for where I went to university at Syracuse, cross country had a lot more of a focus than track at the time. So you really felt the team unity within that individual sport. So when I went to triathlon, even though I think it was actually good for me to have a little bit of the individual part of triathlon because if I was just learning, so I didn't necessarily feel like I had to keep up with anybody or be the same in skill level as anybody. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could do that on my own. But I also felt like I had a community coming in with the collegiate recruitment program that was the program that recruited me. It was a bunch of basically runners who had a background in swimming, who were all starting triathlon at the same time. And because of that, it felt like a team. It felt like you had a support system as we were learning, and everyone was kind of on the same level. And I feel like that was a really good way to get into triathlon for me, because it didn't feel like I was on my own taking on this new sport. It felt like I was really guided. And I also got very lucky because I was really guided in the sense that I was part of a program that was providing me with that community aspect, but also a lot of resources to help me get started in a brand new way of life, a brand new sport. So in that way, it was a really good balance between, yes, being individual, but also having that dynamic of a team.
I mean, you spoke a moment ago about kind of how you, I guess, had envisioned your life may go. How hard was it then to kind of make that leap to actually say, right, I'm going to go and be part of this system. I'm going to give it everything I've got to go and try this new sport, this complete new way of life, potentially?
The leap was hard, mainly because I don't know. Growing up, I didn't know very many professional athletes. I didn't know. there weren't very many people from where I was growing up who were going into professional sport. And so it felt more like a fairy tale type of dream job than it ever felt realistic. So making that jump felt really scary, because mostly I was thinking, well, what if this doesn't work? This doesn't seem like the most thought out thing for me. And even, I've told the story before, but my dad drove me from Maryland out to Colorado Springs, where that was basically, I think it was January of 2013. And that was basically the time that I was making my decision that I'm really going to commit to triathlon and I'm really going to go for this. And it was to be part of a resident program at the Olympic Training Center. And we were about an hour away after driving 25 hours. I said, Dad, I don't want to do this anymore. Can we go, can we just turn around?
I'm sure he was delighted with that.
You can take me home. And well, my dad is an amazing man. And I attribute a lot of things to my parents and what they've instilled in me, because one of those things is he wasn't forcing me, saying, oh, we must do this. I just drove this many hours. You're going to do it. It was, hey, you give it a shot. And if you don't like it, I'll fly back out. We drive back home. And it was a no risk, no lose situation. I was just going to try something new. If it didn't turned out it wasn't for me, or I didn't want to be there, then I go back with my dad. And I never ended up having to call him to pick me up again. And I feel like just him supporting me in that way really made it a lot less scary, because it didn't mean by me committing I need to 100% do this. This is what I'm like. It's a failure if I change my mind at a later time. It just was like, okay, if this isn't for you, that's okay too. So I always feel like that type of perspective going into something is actually quite freeing. And I think that was it. I really went into triathlon knowing, like, okay, like, well, let's see if this is for me.
Well, it's interesting as well, what you said there about kind of the attitude your dad had and your parents as well. I guess one of the things just generally in life as we all get a little bit older is that you suddenly look back with hindsight and you can recognize these things that when you're growing up, you can't see in front of your own eyes. When you reflect on it, what kind of qualities do you think they kind of instilled in you then that have kind of led you through like a really successful life so far?
So many. We've
got plenty of time. So
yeah. Sit back, relax. When I think about it, one of the biggest things I feel they really instilled in me was an independence with support. So I always felt I was in the driver's seat with what I was going to do, but they were always there to support me, whether I fail or whether I succeed. They were always there and I could always count on them. But I never felt like if I said I didn't want to do, well, they wanted me to try the best at whatever I was doing. If I decided I wanted to change something, it was up to me to make that decision, but they were going to support me and could be there. And I think by them raising me in that way, it gave me the confidence to make decisions, but also know that they always had my backs and I was never trying to perform for them or feel like my value as their daughter was based off of how I was on the soccer field or how I was on the track or in a triathlon. It was always, they were there no matter what. And I mean, my dad and my mom, they'll always send me a text message before every triathlon race. Well, it changed from cross country to triathlon, but it's just saying swim hard, bike hard, run hard, but most of all have fun and have some, like my dad have ice cream afterwards. And that's really, I think that one of the most pivotal things that they did for me was just raising me in the way to both have confidence and independence, but with support.
Yeah, it's interesting because I guess when you look at then growing support networks as you become a more successful athlete, you're able to grow a little network around you, and you also found obviously a close coaching relationship as well with Joel Filliol. Could you talk a little bit about how that came together and kind of how that relationship has evolved as well over time?
For Joel, you mean specifically?
Yes, yeah.
So when I was, because of how I came into triathlon, it was through the collegiate recruitment program. They provide you with a coach right in the very beginning, but you're not really supposed to be a part of the program for a very long time. At least this is how it was when I was getting started. Mm-hmm. And so my time was kind of coming to an end with the collegiate recruitment program, and they were guiding me to find kind of the next stage. And I was at the grand final when it was in Edmonton. It would have been 2014. And Joel's squad for the women finished, I think he had four in the top 12, or I don't know. It was some percentage of women who were all in his squad who had done well. And I was like, well, if I was in his, then it would have been like 50%, or that's probably too high. But but I really wanted to be a part of his team because of that. Also, Tommy, my husband, who was not my husband at the time, but we were dating, he was a part of Joel's squad. So I kind of knew how much he respected Joel. And it was a group that I really wanted to be a part of, for both Joel as my coach and the girls that I would get to be a part of and be in a daily training environment with. So basically, I was just trying to beg him to take me on. And in the end, he accepted me, and it's pretty incredible. My first camp with them was December of 2014, and I've only been with Joel since then. And the amount that we've grown from when I first started with him to where I'm at now, well, where I was at before Kimball to where I'm at now, he's gone through so many different transitions with me, and I'm so appreciative of how he is as a coach and where he's guided me to and where we've gotten to as the coaching athlete relationship, and also seeing this new part where he's supporting me coming back as a mom and in a really good way is something that I feel very thankful that I've had such a long career with him.
How hard did you have to beg him to start with? Was he unconvinced initially then?
Well, I'm not sure he was unconvinced, but he at the time, Sarah True was also on his training squad, so he wasn't really sure how having two Americans would go. And so it was basically dependent on whether he would decide if that was okay or not for him. And yeah, ultimately I got the go ahead. So.
And how was the kind of relationship with him developed over time? Because I guess we've actually done one of these interviews with Joel as well. And I know he talked a lot about kind of like he sees his job as part coach, part counselor, part mentor, part, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's kind of like he has a very holistic view of the athlete as a rounded person, really.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful he does, because I'm not sure that's the same for everyone. For him, when we first started, because when I started with him, it was still really fresh into my triathlon career and really learning what I was doing. And I would just follow every single thing that he would tell me to do. And the only thing that evolved was after Rio in 2016, I kind of thought, oh, I need to take a little bit more ownership in my career, which still means Joel is the main person behind all of my training plans and things. But it meant that I would say, oh, like what if we do this, or maybe ask more questions, and realize that I was the one who kind of knew more what was happening in training and racing and what I thought I would get more benefits out of. So maybe just asking, oh, can we implement a skills session? Because if you tell me to go do skills during a ride, I'm way less likely to do it than if it says skills like a certain day, a certain time, and I'm more likely to do it. Well, not more likely. I will do it versus if it's on my own accord, it's like, oh, you can do skills during the week, but I wasn't really going to, or it felt more optional, I guess.
Yeah.
And then holistically for Joel, I mean, my coach in college for running, I had a really bad race one day and I was so upset after it and crying. And he's like, Katie, it's just running. And I've always held on to that in sport because I think it really puts a perspective on, as we were talking before the podcast, kind of what's important. And Joel is similar. Like if you have a bad race, he's not hounding you on what you did wrong. It's reflective and in a very constructive way where we don't want to be too reactive of everything we've been doing and working towards, but also is there something we should tweak or implement that might help. And I love that Joel is not reactive in the sense, I mean, even I just had I just raced in Pontevedra at the World Triathlon Championship Series final, and I didn't have the race that I wanted, and I was like, should we change anything? I asked him right after the race. I was like, or is that being too reactive? And he said, I think that's being too reactive. I said, okay. So having him just to be very even and supportive and definitely, I feel very grateful that I've gotten to have this relationship for a long time now.
Yeah, it's important for athletes to find that. And you see a lot of athletes who, you know, some fairly mature in their careers that have never quite found somebody that works for them, because everybody's different, aren't they? Some people need, you know, a proverbial arm around the shoulder. Some people don't want too much interference. Some people want basically somebody to be kicking them up the arse every single day to get out of, you know, get on and push even harder. I guess it must be quite a fortunate feeling to have found somebody who clicks with you. And I know as well, like you're quite you're obviously very thoughtful as a person, and you know, you keep a lot of journals as well. And I guess that kind of all plays into this holistic approach that Joel brings to you as well.
For sure. And he knows me really well. So actually, for some reason, I love Jersey. I love Super League Jersey. But the course and the weather will sometimes get to me before and make me really nervous on the bike, and I'll spiral. And Joel will just say, go back to your process, which basically means for me writing out in my journal, what are my goals, writing out my timeline for the schedule of the actual day of the race to take me out of emotional state and make me more analytical and logistic based. And then all of a sudden I feel way better about anything I'm going into because I'm not on this, I don't know, tornado of thoughts that probably aren't helpful. Mm. And so just to have him know that's what I need, or even support me in talking to my sports psychologist, or, I mean, he really, I think, understands me as a person and how to help me under all the different conditions. I mean, he's gone through crashes from the Olympic test event for Tokyo, where I ended up in the hospital. And then a couple weeks later, I had to do the grand final, and I had the opportunity to be world champion. But at the time, I wasn't even swimming. And we were actually talking about this the other day, that like a week before the race, I was like kicking with my arms by my, with my arms by my side. And I think to have a coach who can be able to put you in from really unsavory circumstances and get you in the right physical and mental frame to do your best is really good. And I mean, the same thing happened. My dad passed away pretty much right before the actual Olympics in Tokyo, and having Joel be there so softly strong, I guess, is the only way I can think of describe it, where I never felt overwhelmed by trying to get back after my dad passed away, trying to make the, like, we were working with the best possible, and he was helping get me to there, but it never felt like a stressful situation to me. And it probably was one of the most stressful and hard situations I've had as an athlete. So that was, yeah, another reason that I just am so glad I'm in the right place.
When you are keeping those journals, you say about, I can understand how it takes you out of the pre-race nerves, the pre-race chaos in your mind as much as anything, because you know, you kind of have structured it. Does it help you in the race when you have like a moment of real stress or pressure? Can you actually step back and think about it in any way analytically, or at that moment is it all gone because it's all in full gas and everything that's going on? There's emotions, there's endorphins, there's everything blowing around.
I think from working on it, I've gotten a lot better with it. Not to say that I'm 100% foolproof at staying analytical and staying in the right mindset for the whole race. But no, I definitely think on it. I draw on previous races and mental side of things. And I feel that's one of the things that has accumulated throughout my career, is because I have so many different experiences on the race course and in training, each race that I have now and whichever ones are to come, I'm still able to look back on those ones, even within the midst of actually racing. And in the races that I've done, I feel like it's one of the strategies I try to do is, a lot of the times in racing, especially in Super League, it feels so high paced that you don't feel like you can be in the moment, because it's sometimes almost feels chaotic in your brain because you're trying to stay on top of things and think, and you're like, this race is really fast paced. But when you think about it, it's still a 20 minute or so race, well, within multiple races. And to be able to think clearly through the next thing or the moment that you're in is a really beneficial thing for myself as an athlete. So when I'm able to kind of slow it, not slow myself down, but slow my thinking down to think more clearly and not try to rush through, then it's really helpful. But I would say all the mental strategies, I read a book once and by Dina Castor, Let Your Mind Run, and she talked about your mental strategies being in a toolbox. You don't just have one mental strategy you use, but you're able to kind of go through them all, pick them out, and use whatever is going to best benefit you in that specific moment. And you might shuffle through five in 5 minutes or more. Like, it's not necessarily that one's going to last you for the entire race or anything. And that really resonated with me, because it's building that. So you do have so many different tools that you can pull out within the races. And when you're racing well, I mean, it's relatively easy. Things usually go more smoothly and you just kind of find flow a bit better. It's the hard ones where you really have to grit through and stay in the right mindset that are more challenging. And that's what I try to do.
You talked earlier about when your father passed away, and you said some lovely things about him as a man and a person already. But in terms of like where that fell in terms of timing, you obviously mentioned briefly about it, but just curious as to how hard that must have been. Like you're coming, I guess, to a defining moment in your career potentially, as you're enduring a defining moment in your life as well, a very tragic one. It's how hard was it to get through that? Was triathlon an escape, or did you feel like you were able to deal with what was happening away from the course while you were going through this? Did you have to try and sort of box it off a little bit? Like, how did you cope with that?
It was so unexpected for us. So when my dad passed away, I was in Spain and I just flew home. And when I flew home and when we went through like grieving, being with family, going through his funeral and everything, at that point, I didn't care about triathlon. I didn't. It was hard because it was at a time that was April, and we had our next auto Olympic qualification in May in Yokohama. And so there was this, it was a weird contrast because it was it was being at home with my family, grieving my dad, while also realizing time was ticking to get back. But I was like, I don't even know if I care anymore. And I just wanted to freeze and do nothing, you know? Mm. And then you realize, well, you can't do nothing for the rest of your life just because your dad's gone. Like it doesn't work like that. And he wouldn't want that, but it really made you feel like I just felt lost. And I realized, well, I'm going to have to get back at some point. Like I might as well do it right now. And, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready when I went back. I wasn't ready when I left my family. I wasn't ready when he left. And, it was just, triathlon was a really big part of my relationship with my dad in the best way. And he never cared how I did, but he always liked being a part of that journey with me. And so getting back into triathlon, like, I don't want to say I did it for him, but like, I knew it was a piece of him that I'd have, like that he had shaped and that I'd have good memories with. And so I went back to the team. I mean, I don't even know, like that time is just fuzzy. But I went back a little bit before the race in Yokohama, and I wasn't in any type of way to really have a good performance or do anything, but I found comfort. Like you asked about, did I feel like training was an outlet? And no, I probably could have sat on the couch for forever at that point. But then when I went to go back with the group with training, I just wanted to do stuff with people, and I didn't want to train alone. I didn't want to have my mind wander. I just wanted to be with company. And so I started doing workouts before I probably should have done workouts, considering how much time I'd just taken off because I wasn't training right after. But I didn't want to be alone. So I actually hopped into training relatively soon after, but still the first race we had was in Japan. That was a month after my dad passed away, and it was still COVID rules, and we were quarantined to our room. We were getting these meals delivered to us, and I just fell to pieces like the night before the race, like quite late. And then the race I had was nothing great, and the next race was nothing great, and so it wasn't the greatest lead-in to trying to qualify for the Olympics. And also because I'd had a not great, I didn't automatically qualify for the Olympics, so then it became the discretionary part of things and waiting for that choice. And again, for when we talked about Joel was just like, whatever happens happens, and we'll make the best of whatever situation. If you're selected, great. If you're not selected, we'll deal with that too. But I remember I had a call with USA Triathlon before the selection had been made. And I was so confident on the call that I was going to be ready. And I was like, where did this come from? Because because I really wasn't sure that I'd felt that way. But when I was talking, I you know, like when you're trying to like BS to someone that you're ready, but you know you're not ready. Yeah. And you know what you're saying doesn't feel comfortable coming out of your mouth. But when I was talking to them, it wasn't BS. It was, I really felt it. I really felt, well, if I get selected for the Olympics, I'm going to do a good job. I'm going to be fine. I'll be there. I'll be good. And so then I ended up getting selected. And by the time Tokyo came around, I don't know. It was okay. And my dad, there was a rainbow during our race, during the individual race. And I noticed it and I thought, oh, he's here. Like, he's watching. I mean, I'm big on signs. So I feel like my dad sends me signs.
That's I mean, that's an incredible moment, I guess. Did you feel like you were able to kind of fully process it and kind of grieve at that time? Because you said, like, you know, you had to leave your family earlier than you would have wanted to. You kind of had to make the decision that I need to get back to this. Did you feel like you were able to fully process it and grieve it? Or was there a time, like, kind of after that, once things were settled down a little bit, that it kind of hit you a little bit more a bit later on?
I would say no, maybe the time right before Yokohama when it was like without, but even now it still doesn't feel real sometimes. No. And I mean, it's just hard. I kind of feel like sometimes, I don't know if this is the best way to deal with it, but sometimes I just try not to think about it. And yeah. There's certain things that trigger things more than others. And the things that probably stuck out to me the most after my dad passed away and getting back kind of before I was ready was just having the triathlon community be there for me, be there for us and my family, and realizing, again, a perspective thing where you realize these people care about you no matter where you're finishing on the course. Mm-hmm. And I felt that was such a special thing, just to have so much love and support during the worst time of my life, and one where it felt like there was a lot that needed to be done and I just couldn't do it. And so to have the triathlon community kind of be there standing strong. And it's not, when I say triathlon community, I mean it's competitors, it's organizers, it's the people that Tommy's working with as the like media side of things. It's the officials on the race course. It's the coaches of like all the different federations or all the different athletes. And it made me feel very appreciative of this community and being able to be picked up when you really just, you're not like, you can, I don't, if it wasn't as great of a community, I wouldn't be here right now. I would definitely have stopped and maybe stopped far earlier.
Well, you've taken on plenty of challenges. You've come through some really, obviously, incredibly trying times, and you've been an incredibly successful athlete as well as person. So I guess the next challenge has been now motherhood, and now combining motherhood with professional athlete. How has that been so far?
Hard, but really good. I didn't know if I was going to come back to racing after having Kimball or starting a family, really. I mean, my thoughts was always, oh, I'll go to Tokyo 2024 and then we'll try to start a family and be pretty much done. I always thought I'd for sure be done draft legal style. And then as we got closer, I realized the only reason I was thinking that was just because there's not that many moms who stay in this faster draft legal pace of triathlon. So I was like, well, I really like my job. As I said, I really like the community, and that was a big draw to get back. And I didn't feel like I was at my peak, or I didn't feel tired of doing triathlon. I wasn't ready to be done. And so I thought, okay, well, we can give it a shot and see how it goes. But I felt very strongly that if it wasn't right for me and my family, then we would pivot. But there was no harm again in trying. And I think that goes back to what I was saying with my dad when I was first getting into triathlon. It's like, you give it a shot, and if it's not for you, it's not, that's not, doesn't mean anything's wrong or that you failed. It just means it's not for you. And so that's how I've come back into triathlon. And wow, I'm so, even though it's been really hard, and as we were talking about earlier, hard in ways I didn't even expect it to be hard. I look back and I have zero regrets that we're doing this and that we're trying. And it's, there's no place I'd rather be and nothing I would rather be doing.
How has it been? Like, we've obviously seen Kimball, your son, around, and you have Tommy around as well, and you have a lot of family help and support as well. But how hard is that juggle, especially when your job obviously demands quite a lot of travel as well, and yeah, time away from home, and yeah, being on the road with the family? It's like, it seems quite challenging from the outside.
It is really challenging. It's really challenging to figure out the right system, I guess, because as an athlete, and for the past 7 years or so, I would always travel a ton and be on the road and be mostly at camps with my training group. And now with Kimball, a part of us really wants to be at home in our house in North Carolina. But as an athlete, I thrive in the daily training environment with my coach and my teammates. But as a mom, I wasn't sure. I thought, oh, we need to be at home. We need to provide him with like stability.
Yeah.
And I think we're still finding that balance, but we'd been gone just now for 2.5 months. We left in July to race in Hamburg, and then we just got back. Well, we got home for like a day, and now we're in California. yeah, we just got back after 2.5 months, and that was the right choice for us because it was, I don't want to, so one of the ways that I would, that I know I want to do this is with Kimball. And so I don't want to be leaving him at home because honestly, I'm just racing so much that I'd be gone. Like I'd be gone all the time from him. So we bring him, which is not always the easiest thing to manage as a athlete when I'm balancing being an athlete and a mom. And we do it with a ton of support, as you said, because Tommy also has multiple jobs. So he's working for USA Triathlon, coincidentally, as the now talent ID coordinator, which is basically the same thing, but with a new name. That is how I got into the sport. But he also works at all the races as photographer or content creator. And so we have to have someone come with us, whether that's a cousin, my mom, actually my high school cross country coach came with us to one, my dietitian came with us to one to watch Kimball. So, and now Tommy's family is here to help us. Well, not just help us, we also want to see them. But we really have to rely on other people. And I'm trying to find that balance because there's a lot that's different and then there's a lot that can stay the same. And I think I'm trying to find the balance mentally of looking at how I am as an athlete, of what's similar and what's different, and thinking of that in the right way. Because up until probably like a month ago, I just came back, and not in a necessarily negative way, but it wasn't a positive way either. I was like, well, it's so hard coming back as a mom and trying to become physically where I need to be, do logistics. Race lead-ins are a lot different because I don't just say like, oh, no Kimball. Like I'm still being a mom during that time, although we're figuring out a system where like a few days before the race, family or friends, whoever is with us, will be more on primary Kimball duty. And then I kind of come in, I don't want to say visit. That actually makes me feel bad to say I'm visiting my son. But
well, this is part of the thing, right? This is part of the problem, like that I think is an unseen problem for people who are doing this, is that it's hard not to feel that guilt. You're doing like everything right. You're loving mother. You're trying to hold down doing a good job and doing everything. And that yet you still probably feel this burden of guilt, of sort of worried about judgment and things like that, which are kind of, they're not your fault. You're doing everything right. But there's kind of those things that we have in our minds, right?
For sure. And Kimball doesn't care at all. Like, he's exactly. doing great. They're he's fine. Thriving. It's just me. And that part is really hard. And I almost said, I think it's even harder when I have him at the races, but I'm close enough to be there for the whole thing, but I'm not. I'm training or trying to get into the right, just relaxing or getting into the right race mode. But sometimes that feels worse, because if he were just in another state, then it wouldn't be possible to see him. But so it is balancing with like this guilt of feeling like, well, I'm choosing. But I've realized that my processes don't necessarily have to look the same as what they, I don't need to replicate the past. I just need to be confident in what I'm doing right now and for the future. And my training, especially when I've been with the group this little bit, I found a really good rhythm. I started feeling like myself in sessions. And that was a really good step. And so I feel like I'm coming around to the right confidence that, and not kind of being like, well, like, woe is me. This, like, there was for me, I didn't have a pregnancy clause to help me get back into racing. So it was really starting at trying to get into races, trying to work my way up kind of the points. And I'm still having that, but I'm trying to shift that mindset rather than thinking like, I'm not a victim here. I'm just trying to do my best. Like, and that's all we can do. So if I commit to my process, stop worrying about things that aren't under my control and just go for it, then that's what I'm going to do. And I'm just coming around to probably that mindset where before the last couple of races, I've been like, oh, okay. Like, here I am. And it's cool because it's here I am as an athlete, but I also feel very good about how I'm balancing things as a mom too, and being there for Kimball and feeling like, okay, we're getting to the right concoction, even though I kind of feel like that's a false thing as a parent. There's no good, it's all out the window.
There's no right or no wrong. You're just surviving every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my experience anyway. How hard is it mentally not to go down the route of, well, I guess two things in my mind here. One, thinking quite fairly, if I was a man, I wouldn't have to worry about this. And, you know, also I probably wouldn't have feel the same society doesn't judge men who are fathers and go away and do their job the same as it. Like judges women. And also, how hard in terms of when you're thinking about that is it not to compare yourself as an athlete pre-Kimball with post-Kimball? Because it doesn't mean you can't turn into a better athlete, but you're always going to be a different athlete than you were. How hard is it not to compare as well?
Well, so the first part of your question with like whether when men, like men really don't have to have the same I don't want to say feelings, but like strife, I guess, is coming back as a female. Like, sometimes I think, well, I wish Tommy could have just carried Kimball for, for the whole time. And I don't know. I don't think about it too much, I think, in that way. I feel like the harder part is the secondary part that you mentioned, where it's comparing myself and where I was and to like where I'm at right now and trying not to go down a rabbit hole of making it more than what it is. And I think there's a large part of me that wishes, oh, it was just like, oh, like boop, like I'm back to where I was. But honestly, probably other people do a better job of providing me with a perspective of, well, you should be proud of yourself for what you've done and what you've been doing. And I really appreciate when people kind of just support me in that way, because I think when you're in it as a mom, you don't always feel like you're doing a good job. And then you add on whatever goals you have for me being an athlete. And it's nice for someone else to kind of give you the perspective, and that leads me to figuring it out for myself, which honestly is the more more important side, because you can have other people tell you things all the time, but until you start believing it yourself, it's kind of, not that it's worthless, because I just said it wasn't, but it's a lot more monumental when you start feeling it. And so I think for me, I'm just starting to get there, where I'm thinking less about where I was to where I'm going, but also recognizing feelings of, oh, this is how I felt before, and this is a good feeling. I mean that more so in training than anything, of just like appreciating, but recognizing the fact, like, okay, I took a good amount of time off after having Kimball, or not, well, like, my whole pregnancy, I kind of laid low. I didn't train like a professional athlete. I just exercised and wanted to stay healthy. And it wasn't because I was nervous. It was just because I was tired and I wasn't motivated to train as a elite athlete, and I didn't want to. And so then coming back, we took things easy, and I was probably more or less back to normal-ish training by January, after January 2023, which is only the beginning of this year. It feels like forever ago, but now that I just said that, I was like, wow, that wasn't that long ago. And then really just starting to have, in the last few months, find that rhythm, because I'm trying to get back in training while also trying to figure out childcare and all the logistics. And I feel like once we figure that out, that'll be great. But literally, we just checked out a daycare yesterday, when the one day we were home, because we haven't done anything regular for him, but we're recognizing, like, oh, we might need regular help to do this and do it well. And I feel like I'm spewing in a lot of different directions right now, so I'm not even sure I'm making sense. But I feel like another part of it is, as like, when you have a 9-to-5 job and you have to go back after your kid, I think that's really hard. And I've had the, I would say, amazing part of being a professional triathlete, where I have a lot more flexibility in my day and in my role. But it also makes me feel guilty, because I have that flexibility for choosing not to be with Kimball during, like, any time that I'm not swimming, biking, or running. I feel that, like, oh, I should be with him. And I think one of the things I'm coming around to now is, by me putting him in daycare or having someone look after him, that's not a bad thing, or that's not me being a bad parent. It's what I need to do my job.
Yeah, it's incredible. Area, and it's so complex. I think it's so much more complex than people look at it from the outside, and they just think physical recovery and that's it. But there's so much more psychologically that's going on, and anybody who's had a kid knows your world has changed forever, and everything about you has changed forever, and in a great way, but it's still a big change. Having all of this then in this perspective, when you look ahead, has it changed from where we sit now, has it changed, like, how you set goals for yourself? Because does it make you a little bit more kind of short term in terms of, like, maybe it's Paris, but I'm not going to look beyond Paris, as whereas before maybe you'd have looked years ahead and, kind of thought about what you would do? Or is that not the case at all?
I probably am more short term focused, but it's not necessarily because of Kimball. It's just because I'm old. No, a little, well, I say no, but a little bit of that is the truth, is I'm not in it for another quad after this, even though LA 2028 will be amazing. Maybe I'll find my way back in a more supportive role, but there's no way I don't have any intention to be there as an athlete. And I think part of that is just this transition in life, but also after after whatever happens for 2024, we'd also like to possibly add to our family. And then I think, wow, two kids, like, I'm definitely not in for, like, not in for doing this. Wow, having two kids.
Mind boggles on the logistics of that one.
Like, this is, I joke that our second kid is going to get the shaft. Like, Kimball's been to 9 countries within the first year of his life, and the next one will be, like, to the park downtown. But I think it's just a transition for me. I'm not sure it's, I wouldn't say it's necessarily Kimball based, the short-termness of it, but just feeling like I consider this bonus years after Paris, because I never thought I was going to keep going even after Paris. So to go for till 2024 even feels like extra time for me. And then it'll be time to do something different. And I honestly have zero clue what that will be, but I'm all in for this part of it, and I feel very, very good about coming back and having shorter term goals.
Well, look, Katie, it's been really fascinating talking to you and hearing about your life and everything. It's an incredible story. And thank you for taking the time, and we wish you all the very best through Paris and whatever lays beyond for you and all your family as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.